Podcast, the podcast that's not about length, but how you use it. I am Sean Barnes, and that is Jay Leonard. Here again.
Here again.
Oh my God, we're back again.
Backstreet is back.
Take it away, Jay.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
I'm going to start this podcast off with some news.
Breaking news.
Breaking. For all you people who will tune out as soon as we start talking about, I don't know, fucking basketball or something. April 22nd, Berlin, Connecticut, at the Picture Show Theater, Middletown, up in your ass.
All up in there.
All up in your ass. All up in your ass.
I mean, not too far that you can't fish it back out, but
it will be connected to something.
Yeah. Some stuff's coming out with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, yes. This is the first inked stop on Middle Tour.
Yes.
Will be taking place on April 22nd in Berlin, Connecticut, just a couple of miles outside of Middletown, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
This is an awesome theater. We are going to be promoting the shit out of this.
Oh, yeah.
But I literally signed the contract this afternoon, and we're doing it. So,
Yeah. How fucking great is that?
Pretty great.
It's pretty fucking great, man.
Pretty great. This time next week, we should be announcing another theater that will be playing on March 26th.
Yes. A little sooner.
Yep. A little sooner. About a month sooner. But yep. We'll hold off until that paperwork is signed.
Yeah.
Which I'm hoping is, in the next week or so. Yeah.
Do you have a time?
Yeah. Right? That's probably a good idea.
Probably should show up the night before with a tent.
Yeah.
And a sleeping bag.
Well, you never know how it's going to happen. Yes, sir. 7 p.m. 7 p.m. We're going to try to sneak a quick 30-minute Q&A afterwards.
Yeah. Jay and I will be there.
Yep.
I don't know if that entices you or
dissuade you from going.
And hopefully other members of the cast and crew.
Yeah, we'll see who we can drag on down.
Yeah, we don't know who yet, but we'll definitely be there.
Yeah, in Connecticut, cut your head off, son. Sign. That's how they say it down there. Connecticut's a notorious hardcore state.
Very hardcore.
Yeah, yeah. Connecticut, cut your head off. That's how they say it.
Is there like a rough city in Connecticut? Like if you had to pick one.
Yeah, Hartford is pretty rough.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've been to the mall there. That's about it.
Yeah, that's what they're known for. Yeah, you get shaken down at the Banana Republic there. Yale is there, and it's in a really bad neighborhood. Like the Yale campus proper is in a really shitty part of town.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
I don't know my way around Connecticut. Like,
not very big.
It's not.
You know what we should do?
Hmm.
We should go to
UConn.
UConn while we're there. Yeah,
is that what you were gonna say?
No. I was gonna say something dumber, but yeah, we should go. We should make a day of it. The movie's not till 7 o'clock,
and I can be like, my son Jason here is interested in your college.
Yeah, I want to play for the Lady Huskies. They have the best record in basketball.
It's fucking insane.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited. I'm very excited. So we're gonna be promoting the shit out of that. If you're anywhere near Connecticut, you're probably pretty close to this place.
But you know what's funny? You know what's funny is New York is just big enough, and we live just kind of far enough in, really, that like we don't see a lot of out of stater people
from Connecticut.
Well, from any state, really. Like we live pretty close to Massachusetts.
Yeah,
but still far enough away that you really don't see anybody.
That's true.
But I feel like Connecticut's a small enough state. Rhode Island, like you got to be running into people from other states all the time, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Dolphinately? Why I thought that was so funny.
Because it is.
I didn't mean to laugh on porpoise.
Good for you.
It was a stretch.
Yeah. I'm searching, and I'm not coming up with anything. I was going to say, never mind. So anyways.
It's inconceivable that you can't come up with a...
Quit busting my tentacles about this, all right?
That's a stretch.
Yeah, they're all stretches.
Sure.
It's just, this started so innocently.
Uh-huh.
You know?
But, all right.
All right, we'll move on.
Moving on.
Middle Tour. It's happening.
Expect other clever quips such as this at the during the Q&A. Yeah. Do you want to call it a Q&A or a talk back? A talk back.
Somebody did say talk back. Somebody's called it a panel.
A panel.
Yep.
a panel, I think, isn't necessarily just questions. Like, I think it's going to be more of a Q&A.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be.
Because, like, I don't have anything to say unless you ask me a question.
Yeah. You just point at the screen and go, huh? Yeah. Yeah, that was something you guys made.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go. Long ride home. Well, maybe we'll stay. I don't know. We'll
sleep in the car.
Yeah. Stop and get a coffee at Denny's or
recline.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, Taconic Parkway. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go, coming up to Sawmill.
Taconic Hills.
Straight through Westchester. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Brewster County. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ulster. Yeah, yeah. Columbia. Yeah. Yeah. Lower tier.
Sure. The tri-state area.
Tri-state. Yeah. Oh, Vince McMahon.
Hudson River Valley.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
God damn. No, I'm looking for... I mean, dude, it's... I mean, we were feeling a little discouraged at one point.
Yeah, we were.
With how the planning for this was going. We had reached out to several places, a bunch of places that we didn't hear back from. We had talked about a couple weeks ago about how this one guy basically told us to fuck off.
Yeah. No, it wasn't basic. I mean, he told us to fuck right off. You guys take a giant step back.
And we were like, shit, Middle Tour is in trouble.
Yeah. Middle Tour looked like it was in peril for a moment.
Yeah. And I don't know. After the holidays, we kept at it. And people are getting back to us, and it's fucking happening, man.
Sure is.
Like, I know we have this one place lined up. We might have another place by next week. But that doesn't mean we don't have a couple other places we've been talking to also.
We got a couple of irons in the fire.
Yeah, like, we have other places that are very interested. And this is... It's fucking happening.
It is. If you're listening to this and you attended the premiere of Middletown, you were promised a copy of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that you were going to be asked for some money to support this endeavor. Now, at the time of the release of this podcast, at the time of the recording of this podcast, that was over 2 months ago.
Yes, that is true.
It's been a while. You're probably wondering where the fuck your movie is.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is, I don't owe you a goddamn thing.
That's not the approach we talked about.
Oh. All I can say is, you are inconsequential to me.
No, you doubled down. That's not what we're looking for here.
I'm trying my best.
Go the other way. Reel it in.
Reel it in. Reel it in.
Reel it in.
All I can say is,
uh-huh.
You,
uh-huh.
Mean.
Got it.
Absolutely. Nothing.
Oh, no,
to me.
Okay. Shit.
Thank you for coming. we're excited because we're going to be getting some shit together. Now the Middletown tour is starting to come together. We just didn't want to ask for money before we knew that this thing was going to happen.
Right.
And now that it's going to happen.
Shit is lined up.
Yeah. We've got one in New York and one in Connecticut lined up. We've got one in Pennsylvania and one in New Jersey
and another in New York
that are primed and ready to go.
Yeah.
So now we have enough venues and enough forward momentum where we won't feel bad about asking you for money, because now we actually have a thing that we're doing. So
and festival submissions.
And
so I mean, it's
festival submissions. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean,
it's the season.
It is
to give your money.
It's even getting late.
It is
for
a lot of the ones I'm applying to I've been lucky enough to get in on the early birds and shit. But dude, some of these early birds are no joke. Like, they just want their money.
Yeah.
It's, and I know we talked about it last time, but it is a lot of money. Like, real money.
Right.
Money that, you know, I mean, like, I'm an adult and I should be able to let go of $50 without, you know, but it's $50.
It's $50.
And it doesn't,
some of it's $75, $100.
Dude, $110.
Yeah, it's
for nothing.
Yeah. And that's not even the big ones.
No.
I mean, the big ones are insane.
Stupid.
The costs of that. But, yeah. So any money we do collect is going somewhere, whether it be to a festival submission cost, gas money, or, you know, if we raise enough money, we do want to put our head on a pillow at some point while we're in these other states.
Yeah.
And
otherwise, it's
in
just
the fucking
just
the room itself,
eating diet pills and to stay
just
awake,
fucking drinking coffee,
yeah. And
you'll be so excited.
Yeah.
It's so
just
excited.
Real, real excited.
I'm so scared, Jay.
I had this thought. We were talking about the one that we're not announcing yet. We were talking about doing a panel there. Like the owners were like, yeah, this is great. And you guys are going to come up and, you know, do a big panel and stuff. And I was like, in the moment, I'm like, yeah, man, definitely. Yes, right. That's exactly it. And blah, blah, blah. And I'm super like pumped on the idea.
This guy gets it.
Totally gets it. And I got home later that night and I was like retelling this story to my girlfriend. And then as soon as I said the words like, yeah, we're going to do a panel, I had a cold. It was like somebody poured a fucking Brita full of water down my back. And I was like, holy shit. That's going to be tough. This whole thing is going to be tough. This whole thing is going to be a challenge for me.
I think
on like a lot of levels.
I'm going to need you to do me a favor
mm-hmm.
and not say anything fucking weird to people. Because I think that's what you do.
You think I say weird things?
When you get put in an awkward spot,
yeah.
You just double down and say whatever fucked up thing you can think of in that moment.
Give me an example
I
here.
Need you to not do
When have
that.
I ever done that?
You told a story 2 weeks ago about the guy from the fucking newspaper coming in interviewing you.
That's fair. That's well remembered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm going to do my best.
Like,
but you'll be there so I can just get that look on my face like a scared child, wide eyed, and slowly turn over to you. And then you can just step in.
Just do what Scott Mosier used to do for not to fucking always bring up Kevin Smith shit. But like when they did the Clerks panels mm-hmm. all the time back in the day,
yeah.
like Kevin Smith did all the talking.
Yeah.
And then anytime anybody asked how much the movie cost, Scott Mosier just was like, oh, $28,000. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. Just remember the budget.
Yeah. $999.
And then I'll
Harrison
do
Ford. Joey, we're home.
That wasn't bad.
It's all a cocktail. I have to have this, like the right amount of cheese in my throat and like creamy coffee and like an apple fritter. And then I can do like a passable Han Solo.
Dude, I accidentally sounded like Kermit the Frog once because I had like a fucking burp stuck.
Oh yeah. And you want to hold it.
And I'm like, oh, I want to live in this moment forever because I sound just like Kermit the Frog.
Yeah. I told you I got stuck in a Charles Barkley one time. It was magical.
You did.
It was a magical time of my life. And it was one of those things where I couldn't move. I knew anything was going to disrupt it.
Mm-hmm.
But so you know what? You learn to live in the moment and just say all the most fucked up things you can say.
Right.
You know, all the things.
It's going to be good. Jay and I will, at the very least, Jay and I will be there.
Yeah. You probably get more of us.
I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but I know there are actors and crew members that are interested in tagging along. Mm. So,
And tomorrow we record the
commentary track.
Yeah, we're gonna put out a we're basically gonna use it like all these people that have come to the previews and shit or the mm-hmm. premiere. I've already seen it. And they're gonna have a digital copy of the movie. So we're just gonna kind of entice them once it goes on Prime and wherever it ends up to say, hey, buy this motherfucker now.
Right.
And then you'll get the commentary with it.
Right. You'll get a little extra.
Yeah. A little two.
It's that little extra. Because the difference
taste.
Between ordinary and extraordinary.
Just a little bit extra.
Just a little extra.
Yeah. That's true. So I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done that in a long time.
Recorded a commentary track?
Yeah,
yeah man. No, I'm excited, man.
2016.
Like, the commentary track will have the likes of
Jeff.
Yourself.
Yeah, well, myself. Yes,
myself.
Yourself. Ourselves.
Ourselves. And Hard On Podcast Zone, Jeff Riano.
Mm-hmm.
And actually Hard On Podcast Zone, Jesse Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Both stars in the film. I said film.
Is that tough for you to say?
Dude, I hate when I say it.
Yeah.
But like, that's just how people, I think, I expect hate
when
you
I,
to talk.
I hate when I say art and I hate when I say film.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, it is what it is.
Film's not as bad as flick.
No.
Flick is worse.
Is it? I substitute flick in sometimes. Like if I'm writing an email and I've already referred to it as a movie and a film, then
right.
I got to call it something. I'll throw a flick in there towards the end if I need to.
You can't say picture. What's the most, okay, so picture. What's the most pretentious way to say movie? Mm. So like movie's bottom of the list, right?
Movie's the Americanized.
It's a movie, man.
Yeah.
You want to go to the movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Movie sounds like
movie itself is a slang term.
Yeah.
Because it's a moving picture. It's a movie.
Yeah.
So then there's film, which is pretentious.
Pretentious.
Yeah. Picture.
Listen, picture is like a hipstery type of, you know, like it's so uncool. It's like what Bob Evans would call it.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. That was the best picture of the year. I worked on that picture for 6 months that year. You know, it's like a picture. You'll never be in this picture.
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck. Is it film? It's got to be film, right?
Film is just so encompasses everything. It's like calling a theater a cinema. Right? It's just where it's from.
To the
it's
cinema.
Like it's the it's
drop
the,
me off at the cinema.
Yeah. It's the entomology. It's where the art was born, mm-hmm. right? It's just this very French sort of way, like the uh-huh. the cinema. We're going to the cinema.
Right. Oh,
you know. And we just say like theater, ER. Suck it, culture. Movies at the theater with the ER. God, we are, it's...
Yeah.
Fuck. But that's what we do.
It's not that we don't like the art form.
Yeah, clearly
it's just, it seems strange to call something a film.
People would argue that we have shown over and over again that we hate the art form.
You would think.
By assaulting it in such a way.
To bastardize the art form that is filmmaking.
Yeah.
We still call them film... You're still filmmakers, though. You don't say movie makers.
Yeah, no.
Because that sounds shitty. Like, you're just a guy with a fucking video camera.
Yeah, like, but it's hard... But I don't... I've never referred to myself as a filmmaker.
That's a lie. I've read emails that you've sent to people.
Oh, yeah, but that's...
But that's just
promotional.
A, that's
like,
more of a...
I'm speaking in your language.
This is a descriptive word.
Yeah, I'm speaking
I'm using,
in your
so you yeah. understand what I'm... Where I'm coming from.
Right. No one has ever asked me, like, so what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a filmmaker.
There's no articles out there to say, Jay Leonard, filmmaker.
Yeah, filmmaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never said that.
No.
I've also never called myself a director.
Well, you do literally direct the movie.
No, I know. But all I don't. That's just me. That's weird. I'm a shame-based person.
Sure. I get that.
Shame and fear govern my life.
Right. And as they should.
I mean, it's the only
keep
way,
it in check.
It's the only way, yes. It's the only way you keep it in check. Keep it encaged.
Keep everything in line.
Yes. Copy. So how was your week?
I had an interesting week. I mean, actually, do you want to get real or do you want to get...
No, we get real.
Two things happened this week. I'll tell the lighthearted story first. Met Kelsey Grammer.
Ha!
Met fucking Kelsey Grammer. Tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
You tossed his salad and scrambled his eggs,
dude. I got so frustrated. I'm like in fucking okay. And anyway, so he opened a brewery, in the Catskills, and I don't know, for some reason that brewery isn't like functional at the moment, like as far as like a place to actually go and
yeah.
So
clean out the asbestos.
Right. So I think other breweries have been brewing it for him. Like he's like, you know, I don't know how that works with breweries and stuff. So
hook a Frasier up. Like, you know me.
Yeah. Hook a Frasier up.
Do this.
And so it's called Faith American Brewery. I don't know what the deal with the name is. So he was at Frog Alley Brewery, which is in Schenectady. And I'm a huge, you know this, mm-hmm. I'm a huge Frasier fan.
The character, the show?
Both.
Yeah.
big Cheers fan.
Yeah.
Bigger Frasier fan.
Yep. Boston over Seattle.
Seattle over Boston.
Seattle over Boston, yep. Like I said. Let me finish.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's fucking great. And so,
So
he was there.
He's pouring beers.
So the idea is that he's going to be there. He's going to be behind the bar. Doing his thing. I didn't know what that meant exactly. I was like, are you going to be slinging beer? You know what I mean? Or are you just going to be behind the bar? Whatever. Anyway, I get there. And I got there at a reasonable time. The place wasn't like shit packed. You know, like fucking crazy packed in or anything. It was busy. And I was like, this is fucking great, man. So he comes out a little earlier than originally had planned, but he comes out and he like saying hi to people, shaking hands and stuff, walks right by me. And I'm like, oh fuck. Cause I wasn't paying attention. And, and he gets behind the bar and he's like doing laps around the bar. Cause it's like a square bar. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to get in line at the bar, you know, and there's several people in front of me, but that's what you expect. And
what's the turnout like?
A few hundred people.
Wow.
Yeah. In a brewery. I mean, it's a big size room, but there's, you know, it's still pretty busy.
Yeah.
And I get to the front finally. And after a couple hours, like I'm in line for like a good hour and a half probably because he's circling the bar, you know, so people aren't like getting out of line after they order their drink. You know what I mean? They're waiting at the bar because they want to meet him. Understandably so. You know what I mean? And this whole time, like these there's like autograph hounds, which I think is so weird, man.
Like with stacks of pictures and shit?
Yes. What the fuck are you doing?
It's making a living.
What money are you making off a Kelsey Grammer headshot, man?
People do it.
Like these two dudes, big fucking dudes, showed up with like clipboard cases, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like with fucking a stack of fucking headshots in them, fucking forced their way up to the front. And I'm getting pissed off. Like, but I'm like, whatever. He's here for several hours. This is going to be like, I'm loose enough that I'm like, this is fine. I'm going to get my shot. I don't care how long it takes. I'm hanging out at a bar where Kelsey Grammer's hanging out. Like 5 feet away from me the whole time.
Sure.
How cool is that? You know what I mean? And, which by the way, I think is weird. Like, I'm pretty sure he's a recovering alcoholic and he opened a brewery.
Yeah.
But
Coke
that's fucking
alcohol.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, no one's okay with that.
Yeah.
His sponsor is not okay with that.
So I'm working my way up. I get to the front. Like, I get to, I'm next at the bar, you know what I mean? And this girl, like, taps my shoulder. Because he had just circled around one time, and I'm, like, next. And so he's, like, me to you away, but he's working his way around, you know what I mean? So yeah. He's not coming back towards me. He's going the opposite way. And this girl behind me comes up and she's like, can I just get a picture with him really quick? Like, I'm a really big fan and I'm not allowed to drink.
You?
She's saying this to me.
Oh.
And I'm like she wants to cut in front of me.
Oh.
And I wasn't like a dick about it. I was just like, I've been waiting here too. So no. You know what I mean? Like, sorry. No. I mean, she understood, but it was like, did you really just ask me if you could put in front
the
of
balls,
me?
Though? I would never ask anybody something like that. That's me, I
right.
guess.
And she was like, and I'm not allowed to drink. And I'm like, what does that even mean? What are you saying to me right now? Like,
I'm an alcoholic?
Like, is it because you're underage? Is it because, like, anyway. So he's going around. He's been going clockwise around the bar the whole time. And off to the one side, there's like a little, like, VIP area.
Okay.
Where it's like beer distributors. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
So every time he would do a lap, he would stop there and chit chat with them for a minute. And I was right next to them. So I was like next in line after them.
Okay.
So they were done with their schmoozing thing. So he got to the next corner of the bar and I was like next in line, man. And I'm all amped up because I'm like, I'm going to meet fucking Kelsey Grammer. Fuck yeah. This is going to be great. And I bought a 4-pack of his beer and I was going to ask if he would be so kind to autograph the 4-pack, the cans in the 4-pack, because I have a couple friends that are also really big Kelsey Grammer, Frasier, Cheers fans. And I was going to give them each a can. And I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to be like a hero. You know what I mean? This is going to be great. And he's coming around and then he stops on the corner and all of a sudden decides to go counterclockwise. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? You know what? Okay. It's all right. He's going to get back here eventually. It's only like 7 o'clock and he's here till late. It's not going to take him an hour to get around the bar. Fucking A. This is great. I'm hanging out, having a good time.
You're next in line.
Having
basically.
A beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to make his way around here. Gets about halfway back and then him and the other and the fucking bar people are like, all right, guys, calling it a night. Gotta head out. I'm like, what? Huh? Well, I'm like, what the fuck is happening here? And like, I don't want to be that guy. Like, I understand you're a human being.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, he probably had somewhere to be. Maybe he had a train to catch. I don't know. You know what I mean? And I'm like, fuck, I've been waiting here, man. And so I know where he was like heading. So I kind of like positioned myself where I knew he'd have to walk through, at least walk past me. And I'm like, maybe I can get my shot while he's walking by. You know what I mean? So I kind of fucking maneuver myself. And I hated being, in that moment, I hated myself. Because I'm like, fuck, I'm doing that thing I don't like right now where I'm like that fucking person that acts like his time is more important than anybody else. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, motherfucking. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm like,
you did put your time in.
I was fucking waiting, man. And so I said, and it's also weird to call him Kelsey. I was like, Kelsey, hey. Because I'm like, do I call him Mr. Grammar or sir? But that seems weird because at the same time, it's like, you're just a fucking guy, right? But clearly not, because I waited in line for 2 hours to meet you.
Crane, man.
So I was like, Kelsey, I'm really sorry. I hate that I'm doing this right now, but can I stop you quick? And could you please autograph these cans for me? I've been waiting in line. I really want to be able to give these to my friends. And he said, shit, man, I don't have my marker anymore. And I didn't bring one with me because initially I wasn't planning on asking for an autograph. I had no intentions on asking for an autograph when I got there. But then I saw him autographing cans. And I was like, that's a cool thing. So I was like, so I'll buy the cans because I saw him. He had a marker the whole time. And he didn't have it on him anymore. He must have gave it to somebody, whoever he like got it from originally.
The handler.
Yeah. And I'm like, shit. And he's like, hey. But I mean, he was really cool about it. He's like, do you want to take a picture really quick? He's like, I'd be happy to take a picture. And he did. And I got my picture with him. And he was super nice, shook my hand. And that was that. And I got to tell him I was a big fan. Not that he remembers or gives a shit. But, you know, it's nice when you get to tell somebody, like, hey, I appreciate what you do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I'm standing there with the four pack. And I'm like, well, that's just how that went down. I didn't get the autograph I wanted. And literally, as I turned to leave, one of the cans hit a table and fucking fell on the floor and exploded. Exploded. The only thing that would have been better is if it fucking exploded and got beer all over Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
That would have been hilarious.
Should have had your marker, bitch.
If only you had a marker, huh? It's the nice pants you have. It'd be a shame if somebody got beer all over them. Can you even smell it anymore? Or does it just send you into a rage? But yeah, so that sucked. I felt like a dick. You know what I mean? Like,
you have to have your moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's better. You had a moment where
don't get me wrong.
He apologized. You got
Kelsey Grammer to go, ah, shit, man.
Yeah. And how many times do you think he said that day? He doesn't, you know.
Right.
Never.
And
everybody else is just kind of happy.
And I think
he could
tell by the way I was saying, like,
yeah.
I was like, I hate to be cutting you off right now. Like, I think he could tell I was actually not, like, that I was actually, like, a little devastated. You know what I mean? I was like, fuck.
Yeah, it was cool. Really? He got to shake his hand. He got to say hey.
Shook his hand. Said hey.
Jesse Lawrence thought that I was the guy behind you in that photo. He texted me.
That's hilarious. I noticed he commented on my Facebook picture.
He was like, that's a hilarious face you were making. And I go, you moron, I knew that you thought that was me.
And he commented
on
it? Yeah. That thought didn't cross my mind, but that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I thought he was just commenting that the guy was making a weird face behind us.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask him about that tomorrow. He'll probably bring it up.
Yeah. And laugh.
But yeah, man, that was
wow.
It was a weird experience. I think I was just drunk enough to not give a shit. I think if I was sober, I would have just been angry. But I was just drunk enough because I'd been sitting there drinking for 2 hours.
Yeah.
That I was like, hey, Kelsey.
I don't like those things because I don't. It's like the reason I don't like strip clubs. You know, I don't ever want to be looked at by someone as like, I don't want anybody to ever like presuppose they know who I am. And in those moments, you go to those things and they're like, okay, you're a fanboy. You're here for this.
Yep.
And I kind of feel like that takes away, that just, there's like a weird power dynamic.
You're never going to get what you want.
Right.
In a
right,
real world
right.
situation, it would be awesome if you sat down at a bar and Kelsey Grammer or whoever just sat down next to you and you guys just fucking had a chat.
You're like, hey, man.
Like, hey. But that's not going to happen.
No, I know. So that's why I don't ever
and
try.
That's why, that's what I'm saying. Like, and the only reason I think I was so upset about it, if you had told me, like, hey, Kelsey Grammer was just at Frog Alley and you didn't go, I would have been like, oh, I guess I missed it.
Yeah.
I would have gotten right over it. You know what I mean? But the fact that I was like, all right, I'm going to go to this and I'd really like the opportunity to meet him.
Yeah.
And the fact I was like,
one of the first people there. Plus, they were assholes forcing their way up front the whole time. Like,
you could probably buy an autograph from one of those dildos with the...
Oh, you know what's funny? Is somebody brought printed out fucking pieces of paper with him on it and was having him sign them and stuff. I'm like, first of all, that's a weird move. What are you going to do with this? Like, you just printed this off a computer. But he signed one, and somebody just left it sitting at the bar.
Weird.
And that girl that was like, I'm a huge fan. Can you kind of just cut in front of you really quick? I was like, no, but you can have this. I don't know who this is. So I just... Fuck. Yeah, I don't know.
What are you going to do? Well, good for you.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you, buddy.
Yeah. But the other thing that happened this week, and I didn't plan on talking about it, but I guess I can because we're talking about it. Kieran had a miscarriage this week.
Dude.
Yeah. Sorry to make you uncomfortable if you don't want to talk about it, but...
Yeah, you should apologize to me, Sean.
Yeah. But
just keeping the narrative going that we were in an abusive relationship.
I apologize.
I'm sorry this happened to me.
Jay, I apologize. I'm sorry that this terrible thing happened. Yeah. Dude. Right. Yeah, we had started like trying to get pregnant like a couple months ago, and it happened very quickly. Like, yeah, fucking pull the goalie.
30 seconds.
And then...
Hey.
And...
this is different.
And yeah, we knew for almost a month, about a month that we were pregnant. And it was literally the day we were going to start telling people. That's what sucked. That's what really... Because, you know, you have a certain level of understanding that, like, with how early it was that something could happen.
Excuse me.
You know what I mean? And we, it sounded like we were, you know, got through the fucking, the first phase where things are like kind of rocky. And we were going to start telling like, you know, close friends and stuff. We had told like our parents and that was like it. But we were going to start really telling people like that we were close with. Like I was fully planning on telling you that night.
Yeah.
I was all like, oh, I'm going to tell Jay. And yeah, it totally... ended up being a different day. And yeah, it's been a shitty, weird experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because my concern the entire time was her well-being. You know what I mean? So like...
You mean after the miscarriage or before?
Before, during, and after.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because I just want to know that she's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because she's like number one. You know what I mean? And it was still early enough that like... And it's weird to say because I feel like people have this like this expectation of how you're supposed to feel about things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was my number one concern was how she was doing, and yeah, man, it's just been rough. And she's had to go through a lot of shit this week because you have to have a procedure to. You have options, and that's the best one, really. So she's been home all week, like feeling like dog shit, and I just feel. Shitty about it.
Also, like dog shit. Yeah. Yeah, it's
by proxy.
It is
dog shit by proxy.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's a meta gets in the book.
Yeah.
Sean, you have dog shit by proxy.
That's
I've seen
you
this.
You know, Doc, I couldn't put into words the way I was feeling, but you just summed it up.
Yeah, no, you see this. We get this all the time. It's fine. Dog shit. Well,
DSBP.
I'm very sorry. That's a fucking horrible thing.
I didn't mean to bring down the room. But I mean we've been like her and I talked about it, like let's not be those people that like keep shit like it's this shameful thing. Cause it seems to be like the tone is like people are like, oh, I understand. Like it's like it's a thing that happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like a lot of people are very like they keep that shit.
Yeah, I don't know where that comes from.
Like where does that come from?
I don't know.
Like there's almost this shameful feeling. You know what I mean? That people have like And there's
it's
no
just
reason
a,
to...
It's a weird thing because you're sort of mourning, like, potential. Like, you're mourning, like, an idea.
Uh-huh.
But it's...
And the opportunity was there.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not quite... I mean, it's physically, like, it's physically a death.
It's physically a thing.
It's physically a death.
Yeah.
But it's not physically a death. So it's this weird, like,
it's a weird in between.
It's a weird in between, right?
There is a gray area.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's I don't know. It's a common thing. And that's one thing we're finding out is, like, as we tell people, they're like, oh yeah, we went through that, or we had a couple, and like, and it's like, how come this isn't talked about more? Why isn't this talked about more? Where I have these family members and friends that are like, oh yeah, like we went through that, or, you know, it happened a couple times. It's like, if it's this common, why don't, I just don't understand why it's not more of a discussion.
Well, people just don't like to talk about it. I mean,
I understand it might be a difficult thing that you don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Like, we live in a time where people are way more open about things. And I think,
yeah,
I think this is probably one of those things that I think through time people are going to be more open about.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah.
It's like, and the weird feeling afterwards, because it's like, it's not really like depression. It's not, you know what I mean? At least for me, I can only talk for myself. It's not a depression. It's like a, I just spent every waking minute of the past month or so thinking that something was going to happen. And then in an instant you're told, like, no, not happening.
Yeah.
And it's this weird feeling. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it, but, yeah, it's been an interesting month. Like, we found out the day before New Year's Eve. And we went...
like, fucking really? Like, well... I just wanted to have a drink. It's New Year's Eve.
Yeah, no,
this,
I told
this
her,
is the day I find out.
No, you know what's funny? I told her. I was like, she's like, you know, I think I might be pregnant. I'm going to take a pregnancy test. I was like, can you wait until January 1st?
Yeah.
Not for her, because she doesn't even drink.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So it's not like I was like, no.
Did you never drink?
No.
Or did she sometimes?
No, she just, it's rare. Like, if we're out at, like, a bar, she may be like, okay, I'll have a rum and coke or something. But she's not, like, a drinker. Like, if we go out to a restaurant or something, she won't have a drink.
Right.
Which is nice, having, like, a live-in DD.
That's nice.
It's great. But when she does drink, it's literally one drink, and then she's fucking, like... Yo, it's great. But I was like, I know you're not going to drink, but I want to enjoy my New Year's Eve and not have a panic attack the whole time. But she couldn't wait.
Yeah.
And understandable, because if I thought I might be pregnant or something, or I thought something was going on, like, with my body, I'd be like, no, I need to know. And she took a pregnancy test, and she was like, yeah, motherfucker. She woke me up out of a dead sleep. It was 6:30 in the morning. I'm like... just about to, like, my alarm's about to go off. It's like 6:25 and, like, my alarm for 6:30 is about to go off. And she literally was like, Sean. And she's like shaking and showing me. And I was like, what? Huh? And it was weird.
Intense.
It was very intense. And then I went to work for a day and then fucking went down to New York City and was like, hey guys, what's going on? Even my friends were like, what's going on with Kieran? She seems really fucking, like, cause she was like, she's like, I don't know how I feel right now. You know what I mean? She was like scared and a little like, and very anxious and, like, you know, and there's some excitement in there, of course, but, like, there's like this, like, what happens now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What happens now? But
everything changes.
That's the,
that's what happened.
And short of that week.
Yeah.
And well, on top of all of that, on top of spaghetti.
All covered with cheese.
Fucking Kobe, man.
Ugh.
On top of all of that.
Yeah, we were here.
We had literally just stopped recording.
Yeah.
We almost found out while recording a podcast that Kobe died.
It was within a couple of minutes. Because we were in we were in here bullshitting, and I got a text, and then we hung out for like an hour,
just watching
it unfold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we talked about this for a minute before the podcast, but like, I didn't understand how much I was upset about it until the next day. Like, it took time for me. It took time. Like, we left here. You went home to, like, get your car or drop something off.
Yeah, we had somewhere to go, but we both had our cars here and we were going to ride together. So you went home and I went home.
And I went down the street and I'm driving down the street, my street, and do like a fucking movie, four houses up. I'm driving up the street and there's this kid on the sidewalk dribbling a basketball alone wearing a Lakers hoodie, yellow Lakers hoodie. And I was like, ooh,
oh boy. And you have to have that moment of like, does he know yet?
I just felt like he knew.
But he had to, right?
Like, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's like, it just keeps getting worse. The story keeps getting worse. It was like Kobe died. Kobe died and there was four other people. Then you find out that his and I remember saying to you, like, God, I hope his kids weren't with him. Like, God, right. Fucking please. And of course, his daughter was with him, of course. And finding that shit out. And it was just like a fucking gut punch, man. It was just a gut punch. And then, you know, all these other people are dead. And then it turns out that, you know, fucking they missed the top of the hill by 20 feet. And like, what? 20 feet was the difference between life and death for 9 people? And it just hasn't stopped, you know? And it takes so long to kind of get through it and listening to Shaq and then seeing the TNT thing the other night. Huh? And yeah, man, that was so rough. And it's not like... Like, I was thinking about this today. There are some beloved athletes. You know, we've had some beloved athletes in our time. Arguably, the most beloved athletes because the proliferation of, you know, the internet and worldwide sports have happened over the past 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. These guys are global phenomenons now.
Right. But like, in our time, if you pick the top five, say, what do you got? Like, Jeter?
Yeah.
LeBron?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You got to put Kobe.
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, I know I'm listing mostly NBA players, but I think that's because the NBA has done a really good job of becoming a global.
Yeah.
Of course, we're saying American athletes, because if you think about it, fucking soccer players are like fucking...
Soccer is a thing upon itself. Soccer is a weird thing where we don't get it.
I guess to be fair, there are soccer players that are far and fucking like Formula One racers that are far bigger than...
But you know that story Mike Breen has told a couple of times about Mike Breen, the famous announcer for the Knicks, told the story a couple of times about being in China for NBA stuff and having the driver ask him in broken English, you know, like finding out that he works for the NBA and ask him if he knows Kobe, and Breen said yes, and the guy was so overcome with emotion he pulled over and was crying. Wow. And like shaking Mike Breen's hand, you know, I mean, that's worldwide recognition. That's next level, you know.
Absolutely.
So just to think, like, this guy who's only 2 months apart in age from me, mm-hmm. whose daughter's only a couple months apart from age of my kid, is just not there anymore.
And a guy that you and I have spent hours... of our lives watching.
Yeah. I hated Kobe like I hated David Ortiz.
Right.
I hated watching Kobe beat...
like Pedro Martinez.
Torch the Knicks.
Hate him, right?
You go like, you motherfucker. Why are you so good? And mm-hmm. that's it. The underlying thing is, but I could watch... But I'll tell you this. I watched his 60-point game, his last game. And I had tears in my eyes the whole game, just thinking like, this is the last time I'm going to witness greatness at this level, this amount of dedication for this long. And LeBron James is an asshole. but that's it. That's the only thought I have on that.
No, but like, it's the same thing though.
But Kobe was different in the way that like, Kobe didn't, there's something different between
Kobe's. Well, there was also Kobe's, like, LeBron is a brand. At this point.
Yeah.
And not that if something were to happen to LeBron, it wouldn't also be devastating. Like, obviously.
That's where I was going with this, was like, even amongst all the people of our time, our time here on Earth, I wouldn't have felt this way if it was D-Wade. I wouldn't have felt this way if it was Dirk.
Right. It would have been weird, and it would have been a sad...
Like, fuck, wow. But Kobe?
Kobe.
How many times...
A guy who... above almost a lot of players, who seems to really have his shit together. Dude just won an Oscar last year.
An Oscar.
Won an Oscar. Like,
how many times and, do we, like, you know, chuck fucking garbage across the room. Kobe. Right. We've been saying that shit for 20 years.
Right.
You know, it's just so profoundly heartbreaking to think that this guy who was supposed to be Bill Russell someday.
Right. He was going to be that old guy at the dunk contest.
Yeah.
He was going to be fucking Dr. J hanging out.
It's just the kid, man. This thing happens.
On top of it all.
It's just this thing happens, and I don't know. It's biological. It's just so fucking heartbreaking. It's a gut punch. It's like, I remember struggling to try to make sense of why I was so sad about it and talking to my girlfriend, just being like, it's just like, it's so fucking heartbreaking, you know? And then Wally Szczerbiak was talking about how he was connected. Like all he said was, as a father, and I looked up and I'm like, that's what this is. This is just
100%.
As a father, yeah. He was in a position where he had to, like, he had the last 15 seconds of his life were full of terror. And, you know, and then there's this whole fucking thing with it just not being fair. This kid grew up in basketball. He worked his ass off. He spent 20 years playing this game. You know, he went from...
Played on one team.
One team.
In one city.
Nobody does that anymore.
No one does that. LeBron doesn't do that.
They weren't the Showtime Lakers.
No.
You know?
I mean, yeah, he won 5 titles. But yeah.
But he built the Staples Center.
Yeah.
That shit wasn't built for him. You know, he didn't come into this.
Right.
You know? Fuck. What was I going?
Players don't stay on one team.
Yeah, it was before that. I don't know. Whatever.
As a father. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. I lost it. But, 20 years. Came from nowhere. 20 years. I don't know. Whatever. The fact is that, like, we watched this kid come up. It was a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And watched him play.
The youngest person to ever play in an NBA game is Kobe Bryant.
His parents had to sign his contract. You hear all this shit. You know, and he went through some shit. Like, he went through some shit. He had some shit happen to him.
Some shit happened. And that's an interesting aspect of this entire thing. There's an interesting layer to this, and it's been interesting to watch people react to that specifically. I don't remember the year. It was like 04. I don't know. Kobe was accused of rape, which no one's, to my knowledge, giving this woman a hard time. I'm sure someone did, but Kobe was in and out of court for fucking months.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's hard to say what actually happened because none of us were there. The record states that Kobe has gone on record anyway to say that he admits that they did have sex, but that he believed what they were doing was consensual, and he now believes that she must not. He believes that she feels that it wasn't, and the case was dismissed after because she wouldn't testify. And that's her right if she chose to not testify. I'm not saying that proves or disproves anything. But the case was ended up being dismissed. And then she did bring up a civil case against him, which I think they then settled out of court.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's
that's
long
accurate.
And the short of it.
Yeah.
He was with his wife, so he did cheat on his wife.
Sure.
Shitty move. Sure. That doesn't mean you deserve to die. And that doesn't mean you can't be this amazing star athlete that, you know, transcends fucking
yeah. I don't give a single fuck about victim culture. Like, I don't care. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't care who it was. Like, sometimes this shit is wrong. And sometimes, I mean, this is the wrong time to fucking talk about it.
Well, here's the point I was going to make. A girl that I know posted on Facebook, and a lot of people are posting on Facebook and Twitter and shit, saying, "Hey, everybody, don't forget this guy's a piece of shit human being." And I'm like, all right, no one's saying you can't have that opinion or feel that way, but you also don't get to decide what people mourn and how people feel about that. You don't get to decide. You don't get to decide how other people feel. So get off your fucking soapbox and stop telling people how they need to feel.
That's it.
That's exactly it.
You are
entitled to feel however you want. If you feel like Kobe died and your thought is like, as much as tragic as this event is, I know that shit, you know, I feel like he got away with that shit and I'm not happy about it. Great. Keep that to yourself. You know what I mean? And I'm not even defending any of his actions. I'm not at all. But you can't deny the other 90% of his career.
There's a lot of shit that went into that case. There was the fact that, like, when they gave that woman the rape test, she had 7 other individuals' semen samples in there. There was the fact that she sent her boyfriend.
Is that a fact?
Yes. There was the fact that she sent her boyfriend a message saying that she had just fucked Kobe Bryant and that there was, like, intent behind it.
Right.
There was a lot of shit that stacked up against this woman. And I don't, like, the fucking, what are you going to do? It happened. And or it didn't happen. The fact is that the court dismissed the case. He gave her money in the civil suit. He came out and apologized before the civil suit and said, "I understand what I'm saying could be incriminating. Here's what happened. I thought we were, to me, it sounded a lot like the Aziz thing. I thought we were cool. Apparently we weren't cool. I fucked up." He said he apologized to her family. He apologized to her. He apologized to her friends. He apologized to his friend. You know, this is on me. Fuck me. Sorry. And that was it. And it was over. Get off your crusade fucking ship, man. A 41-year-old guy died in a helicopter with his 13-year-old daughter and 7 other people.
Yeah.
Now is the time where you're like, well, just so you... No.
Right.
No.
Where were you 5 years ago? Why weren't you... When he retired, why weren't you complaining? Or when you...
For 15 previous years, where were you?
Right.
Were you out there flying the fucking flag? The fuck Kobe Bryant? Because it's not like he disappeared in 04. He played in the NBA for 13 more years.
Right.
You know? He won championships. He was everywhere. Are you out in front of the Nike store boycotting his sneakers 3 years ago? No.
Right.
No, 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 no. You're just trying to police people.
You're trying to police how other people react to a tragic event.
You're a piece of shit.
Because you feel like you need to?
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, how's that work out for you? How's that?
Oh, what I was going to say is this girl I know that posted that shit that was like, oh, let's not forget how shitty of a person he was. People fucking... went on the attack.
Good.
On
good.
Her, and she deleted her entire Facebook account.
Good.
Because of it.
Good.
That's where that ended up going.
Good. God, like, that feels good. Fuck her. Mm-hmm. I hope for some reason she's listening. Fuck you. You're a piece of garbage.
I'm sure she's not.
Fucking defending shit that you were 3 years old for. Like, you know what the fuck is going on in the world. Like, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Mm-hmm. In a year, bring it up. If you want. Fucking the week this guy dies and children die in the fucking accident.
Right.
You heartless piece of shit.
And it would even be more,
oh God, eat a dick.
Yeah.
Eat a fucking dick. Eat a dick. Eat a dick. Was Kobe convicted? Did I ever? And again, I used to bitch to you about Kobe all the time.
All the time.
All the time. No, was not a Kobe fan. Was a fan of his talent, of his skill. The guy had the most unreal work ethic. All these stories have come out this week.
If anything, like he there should be the fucking Kobe Bryant school of work ethic.
Like, so, do you hear the story D Wade was telling on TNT?
Yeah.
About, yeah. So anybody that didn't hear it, the Lakers played the Heat in Miami. I think it might have been the last shot of the game. Kobe went up to hit a three. D Wade hit his arm. Nobody called it, apparently. Kobe missed the three. Lakers was the game, whatever. It's a night game. So after the game, Kobe gets a trainer and says, we got to work on this shot, and has the trainer smacking his arm while he's shooting threes until like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, well, if he's going to hit me, I got to figure out how to get around it. Who does that? Who gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym?
Yeah. Or did you hear the story with Stan Van Gundy? Which one's Stan and which one?
Pistons coach, or was the Pistons coach. Jeff was the Knicks coach. Jeff's the short, bald one.
Right. Okay, so Stan, when he coached Orlando.
Yeah, Stan.
Coached in Orlando. It was the summer. Did you hear this story?
No.
Oh, wait, no. You and I heard that story, I think, when we were watching it. He told the story about how it was the summer. NBA's not playing in the middle of summer. No. You know what I mean? It's like July, August. And he was taking his family on vacation to Disney World and called up the Orlando Magic, said, hey, I know you guys have workouts going on right now, but can I come in and work out in your facility? I'll be in and out before the team even gets there. And they let him fucking go in and like work out. They were like, he was driving, like he was getting up at fucking 4 a.m, driving to the Orlando Magic fucking facility, working out, putting shots up while he's on vacation, literally on vacation. And like, I know putting up shots sounds like, well, yeah, why wouldn't you just put up shots? No, this guy is working on fucking skill and technique, and it's his job.
Jay Williams.
Could you imagine doing your job on vacation?
Dude, Jay Williams was talking about practice, and when he was a rookie, I think he only played a year or whatever. He was playing at, he went into the Staples Center. It might have been the Forum. I don't remember. He was excited. He wanted to get there early because it was the first time he was going to face Kobe and shit. Mm-hmm. So he gets there at 2 o'clock. And you saw this, yeah, right? We saw this together. And he gets there at like 2 o'clock and gets ready to get some shots up. And there's somebody dribbling the ball. Kobe's already there, and he's working out like game time workout. And he did it for hours. And Williams was like, you know, there's no way he's going to be all right tonight. Like, he's going to have a shitty night.
He's going to be exhausted.
He was not exhausted. And when he asked him after the game, like, why'd you do this? He's like, well, I wasn't going to let you outwork me. You know?
Yeah.
Fuck yourself. It's just like, dude, shit like that. And I heard a story today about, or yesterday, about this girl that was working at this children's hospital. Did you see this in Phoenix?
No.
She's working at this children's hospital of terminally ill kids, right? Yeah. And this one little boy was 8 years old, wasn't going to make it. He'd been sick his whole life and everything. Big Lakers fan. So she knew a guy that worked for the Suns. She contacts this guy. And he's like, hey, is there any way that you can get some shit signed? And the guy's like, oh, yeah, you know, we'll see what I can do, blah, blah, blah. Calls her back a little while later and is like, he'll do it. And she's like, cool. So do you want me to grab a ball or posters or whatever? And he's like, no, Kobe's going to come to the hospital. But two things, no PR, and no one knows that he's coming. So they drive Kobe Bryant to this hospital.
Right.
He walks in the back stairs. He hangs out with this kid for an hour, laughing with him, taking pictures, this whole thing, signs a bunch of shit. He's leaving. He grabs a lady who made the initial contact, and he goes, so what's the situation? Like, is this financial? Because if it is, I can take care of that.
Wow.
And she's like, no, it's not. You know, it's yours. Okay. So the mother says, you know, that was the only time she saw this kid smile in 8 years.
Sure.
Kid dies like 2 weeks later.
Fuck, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's not the only time he did it.
Right.
He was doing shit like this all the time.
Yeah, you don't do that shit every once in a while. Like,
but
if
never
doing that shit,
publicized any of it. And the world is on his balls for years going, he's a fucking piece of shit, rapist, adulterer, blah, blah, blah. And he's doing this shit and not taking credit for it. Never trying to repair his reputation.
Right, a guy who you would completely understand if he was.
Needed the PR.
Needed the PR.
It was like, no. He was ready to save that kid's life.
Yeah.
With a check that day.
If you need, well, you need 100 grand.
What do you need?
Yeah.
It's fine. It's so unbearably sad, and I just don't, it's hard for me to reconcile my own feelings with this because I don't know why it has been so hard for me to deal with. But I was honestly I really felt loss up until tonight. I have really felt like real loss. It's weird, and I don't, it's just a weird thing. I don't know.
Well, it's a thing, like, And even though he retired a few years ago, you still saw him all the time.
He's always at the court.
Yeah. He's still there all the time.
Still there. Everybody just, I don't know. Everybody respected
Michael Jordan.
Him.
Michael Jordan disappeared.
Fucked off.
Yeah. Michael Jordan, the minute he actually retired, disappeared.
I can't watch that shit tonight. You know, I was thinking about it, and I just feel like I can't sit through it. I can't sit through that game at 10:30. I just can't do it.
The Laker game?
Yeah. I can't do it, man.
Well, did you see the stadium?
No.
They gave one half of the stadium number 8 Bryant t-shirts.
Oh, yes, 24.
And then they gave the other half all 24 Bryant t-shirts. They're all yellow.
Yeah.
So that whole fucking arena is going to be...
It's the city of Los Angeles is, like, broken.
Yeah.
The sport is broken. Mm-hmm. If you watch basketball, if you have a favorite basketball player, his favorite basketball player is Kobe Bryant.
Sure. 100%.
I mean, it's just it.
Dude, like I have vivid memories. Like I remember I fucking cut my teeth on the NBA in 2000, 2001. You know?
Yeah.
I'm fucking 10 years old. Mm-hmm. Or fucking like 10, 11, 12. Like the Lakers they're on TV every night because they're fucking good. You know what I mean? They have Shaq and Kobe and I fucking really, that's when I really got into the NBA. And I would stay up till 10:30 to watch the fucking late
game. West Coast game.
To watch the West Coast game. And my fucking mom and my grandma would be like, you need to go to bed. And I'm like, fucking Kobe's on.
Showtime, baby.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But I'm like, I remember watching like game 7 of them against the fucking Kings in the Western Conference Finals and like shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then fast forward to him on the verge of another three-peat of championships. It really fucking sucked. They couldn't get that second three-peat. But whatever. Like I was in college at the time and fucking like really being like, Kobe's still fucking doing his thing, man. Still doing his thing. And at this point, I'm like, I'm starting to like, my allegiance is moving to like the Knicks and shit at this point. And I'm like, yeah, fucking the Knicks are like my fucking hometown team. You know what I mean? If you could have one up here. But I'm like, oh, I still got to watch the fucking Lakers game, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still got to watch Kobe play.
You still watch greatness. I mean, that's like how I've been with Golden State the last, you know, 6-7 years. Like, yeah, I'm, you know, I've been a Knicks fan since I could watch basketball.
Sure.
It's just depressing. So you follow other shit. It's
well, you picking can't, up other teams.
You can't not watch. It's hard not to watch greatness. It's hard not. It was, if you're a fan of the sport, then you're a fan of the art of the sport. And like Kobe was a fucking artist. He just was.
Right. You watched a Kobe game. You just did.
Yeah. Kobe's on.
It's like that now with LeBron. I know you hate LeBron. But like.
So much.
But at the same time. And I feel like it's not as much like that with LeBron now. But think about like LeBron when he was on Miami.
You know why? You know what the difference is?
Still watch the Miami games.
But the difference between Kobe and LeBron was this moment. Matt Barnes, one of my favorite all-time goons.
Like a real motherfucker.
Top 5 in the game. Goons of all time. And Kobe getting into some shit. And Matt Barnes fucking acts like he's going to throw the ball in Kobe's face from about 6 feet away, 5 feet away, not even.
No, they're literally 3 feet away.
3 feet away?
Yeah, it's.
And Kobe doesn't blink.
Yeah.
Now, LeBron would have flopped and somebody would have got suspended.
Sure.
That's the difference.
That's the difference.
Kobe walked out with a torn Achilles and shot foul shots.
Yeah.
Kobe never stopped working. Kobe was all about the business. He was all about working hard. He was fucking tough. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the biggest dude on the floor. He was tough as nails. LeBron is like a refrigerator that doesn't work. He's just like, he's big for nothing. He's soft. You know, and he plays 60% of the time, 60% of the effort for 80% of the season and turns it on at the end. And that's what he's fucking known for. That's the difference. I respect.
He is the most athletic NBA player of all time.
LeBron?
Yeah.
Oh, Yeah, because LeBron could have played
football, probably could have played baseball, probably could have played, like, he's just he's a fucking monster of an athlete.
He spends $1 million a year on his body.
Like, and should. Yeah. He should. Yeah. But, like, Kobe was a basketball player.
Yeah.
Kobe was a fucking
Philly kid, you know?
Like, just no one worked harder. Nope. No one, like, he had every fucking move in the book. Like, he somehow created a shot for himself all the time. And then
it's dangerous from everywhere, and it could also pull, you know, 18 rebounds
if he if he really wanted to.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, and fucking that his last game, the last game of his career, couldn't have scripted that.
And that's like, the you same.
The
magic.
Only way that would have happened is if you fucking wrote it for a movie.
It's the same.
It made no sense.
The second
that
time
last game
in my life that I have seen something in sports where I go, or maybe the third time that I know about. I wasn't around for the Olympics with the USA and Russia.
Right.
But that's one of those moments where you're like, that doesn't even make sense. How? The other one, Derek Jeter.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting number 3,000 with a fucking with a home run to left center field, going 5 for 5,
right?
And then, you know, or his last game, the walk off single, right?
Yeah.
And then Kobe going for 60,
fucking 60.
Farewell. 60.
Don't get me wrong, put up a lot of shots.
Went for 60.
Dude still put up 60 points.
Went off for
say what
60
you want.
Points.
Put up 60 points against a pretty decent Jazz team, if I can.
Yeah, it was the Jazz. They played the game in its entirety on Monday, and the Jazz were live tweeting it, and like everybody was kind of like treating it like it was really happening. It was kind of nice, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
It was kind of nice, yeah.
And like, and people are like, and Gordon Hayward came out this week. You know what he said this week? Did you see that? He was like, "I'm sick of all the people acting like I let Kobe put up 60 points against me." He was like,
"That's what he made it look like, right?"
Yeah, he's like, "No, the dude's just that good that I could not, like, he was gonna put up 60 points no matter who was guarding him that night." And his fourth quarter was insane.
Yeah,
the fact that, like, and it's not like they just handed. I mean, yeah, Kobe brought the ball up the court pretty much every play. Kobe, fucking,
it was Kobe's victory lap.
Yeah, he's like, "I'm taking the shot."
Yeah,
but you know what? He made the shots.
Yeah. No, he looked, he didn't have a last game like a sad baseball player who, like, you know, has trouble getting up the line for that last hit.
Right.
And then stands on first and waves and they pull him out to put in a pinch runner so he can have his last, like, cap tip. Kobe came out like Kobe Bryant and played basketball and put 60 fucking points up against a professional team.
Right.
You know?
And they were down in the fourth quarter. And I said, they can't fucking lose this game.
Yeah, no.
And they didn't, dude.
Yeah, no.
Like, no. They didn't. And there was some good defense in that game, too, if I remember correctly. Like, and give it to the fucking rest of the Lakers. The rest of that team wasn't very good.
Shaq calls them the others.
Right, the others. That team was...
The team was all others.
Yeah. Like, I think the second best player on that team was probably... Dude, it was like Brandon Ingram.
It was Swaggy P.
Swaggy P, Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle.
Yeah.
Ron Artest.
It was probably Brandon Ingram.
Well, no, I'm thinking there's one more. He's on the fucking Warriors now. Played for the Nets last year. And now he's on the Warriors. No,
I can't.
He was an all-star last year, I think. And now I can't fucking remember. But he was probably the second best player on that team. And yeah, they had I can't remember. That's how shitty this team was.
Yeah,
like they didn't have Hart or Caldwell Pope at this point, or fucking, or maybe they. I don't think they did anyway.
No, Caldwell Pope's just the last couple.
But
years.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was head and shoulders the best player on that team. But then you had, like, the rest of the team was, like I said, Brandon Ingram and, Larry Nance Jr. And, like, you know what I'm saying, though? Yeah. Like, that was that team. Julius Randle and, like, I can't remember this other kid's name, and I feel like an asshole because he's actually a pretty good player.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get an email about it.
Probably.
unspeakably tragic. Hard to deal with and surreal in the way that real death feels surreal. The way I've been processing
it felt
this,
like a death.
It felt like a real death. It felt like honest. It felt like a real death. Like this person isn't
here.
And
I said to you that day, it wouldn't feel like this even if Michael Jordan died.
Yeah.
And here's why. I think it, like, because Kobe was still so close to the game. And it's because the players are still really affected.
He's still in the game.
Right.
Whereas, like,
don't get me wrong, Michael Jordan is a majority owner of the fucking
But Kobe's on the floor. Kobe's peers are still playing the game.
Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah.
Like, the people on the floor either played with Kobe or
played because of Kobe.
Right. Exactly. Like, nobody's, like, there are people, there are kids on the floor now that probably were born after Jordan retired.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they literally could have never seen Jordan play. And Jordan's like
I mean, the kids haven't, definitely. Jordan retired in 99? No.
It was like 2002 or something.
Oh, the Wizards year.
So it's like, I mean, okay.
But still, no, but still. But how old is this new rookie class, you know, John Morant and Zion Williams and
Zion Williams is 19.
They're 19, 18, 19 years old.
So it's like there are kids in the league that don't live.
No. They've never not been alive for Kobe Bryant.
Right.
They've never experienced life without Kobe Bryant. It's that big. Yeah. His death is that level. And it's, you know, it's goofy to say that you get affected by this shit.
Yeah, people are going to be like, you know, there are people that are not basketball fans. They're going to be like, you didn't know Kobe Bryant. Like, yeah,
I had that
but
conversation
he
with
was
a friend
still
of mine.
A big part of my life.
Yeah. No, yes. Like, because you don't have a relationship I didn't have a relationship with Kobe Bryant because he didn't talk back to me. But I spent 20 years yelling at Kobe Bryant. Right. I heard every Kobe Bryant story for 20 mm-hmm. years of my life.
And you got sick of hearing it, right?
Got sick of hearing about his work ethic and things he was doing here and things he was doing there and the fucking championships and the beef with Shaq and the fucking this and that and, you know, him being a notorious asshole and blah, blah. Like, I heard every story. You watch TNT, you watch NBA on TNT, you watch the ESPN games, you know, you watch this, you grow up with this guy in your life and hearing all this shit. I work with people every day. I've worked with people the same people for 15 years.
Right.
I don't know them as well as I know Kobe Bryant.
Right.
And then
absolutely.
He died.
And then in such a tragic way.
In such a violent, senseless, tragic way with child.
All these other people.
And it's fucking little girl.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I still can't process that. Hugging the shit out of my kid, you know, she said she didn't ask me about it. She's weird about stuff like that. Like she doesn't try to feel me out or whatever, but it's usually a couple of days and she'd be like, hey, so she was like, hey, so today something funny happened today. I'm like, what? She's like, well, we were in class and this one class we were done early and the video we were watching in class was over and the next video that popped up was a documentary about Kobe Bryant. She's like, so, and then like, you know, she said it and I was like, oh God, okay. She's going to ask me about this, you know? Mm-hmm. She's like, and everybody freaked out and was like, no, can we watch that? Can we just watch that? And my teacher was like, well, there's 12 minutes left to class so you can watch it. And I was like, yeah. And like, so, you know, what's it about? And she's like, oh, it was just about his greatness and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And she goes, yeah, you know, a friend of mine said that they found his body and he was holding his daughter. And my instinct was to say, no, he hit a mountain going.
Right. There's no way that happened.
Hundreds of miles an hour. You know, they took him 9 days to identify or it took days to identify these bodies and stuff. You know?
Right.
But instead I was just like, yeah, I hope so. You know,
right.
And that's it. And then she was like, okay, are you okay? And I was like, no, not okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I cried at my desk today about this. I'm a grown ass man.
Yeah.
I'm a grown ass man who does not live in Los Angeles.
Right. Who and spent an entire lifetime hating the man.
Actively hating the guy.
Right. Probably wishing he was dead.
Oh God. Yeah. Just fucking yelling. Oh, dude, he has made me angry.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't feel this way if it was Pedro Martinez. I wouldn't feel this way if it was David Ortiz.
There's something about basketball, number one, because the stardom of those players is so huge. Like,
they're on your feet. They're like,
I know the NFL is the number one sport in the country. Like, you have these guys making millions and millions and millions. I mean, every professional athlete is making a shit ton of money, but like, there's something about the NBA.
You know what? I think that might have to do with the fact that these players, the NFL players, are wearing helmets, right?
I've said that before.
Yeah. Like,
you don't see their faces.
No, and it's so simple, but it makes all the sense in the world.
There are players that are probably really great players that are really great players, but you probably couldn't pick them out of a lineup if you're just a casual NFL fan.
They're wearing armor. Like, they're wearing helmets and pads.
It's the team.
And you can't...
You
like
the team.
You like the team. But basketball players are...
It's their face, man.
Yeah, it's their face.
And even in baseball, it's a weird uniform, if you really think about it.
Super weird.
They wear hats and fucking helmets and... But the NBA, it's you.
Shorts and a tank top.
And one player can make a huge difference. Like, you don't get that in other sports, unless you're like an NFL quarterback. But even then, if you have a shitty offensive line or no run, like fucking no wide receiver, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're still going to struggle.
I was thinking about that. Yeah.
What happened to every fucking team that, like, I know I keep bringing up LeBron, but like, the minute LeBron went back to Cleveland, they were great.
Well, so
the minute he left, they were dog shit.
That's what I was thinking about. Like, these.
That's the thing about the NBA.
The others, right? That's what made me think about it was, like you said, you know, Valanciunas. No, not Valanciunas. I'm trying to remember what European you're talking about, because there was a European name that was on that team. That's
Serbiak.
No, it wasn't Wally Serbiak. But whatever.
Oh, no, it was fuck. Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, go to the Warriors or whatever. Like, right. JaVale McGee.
Yeah,
you know, not the best player in the NBA. Probably the best player in his state. Growing up, definitely the most dominant player in high school, all the way through high school, college. I don't know if he went to college or not.
Definitely, you have to now.
Like,
right?
you're of the 350 NBA players that are in the league at any given time.
Right.
You're of
Timothy Mozgov.
Timothy Mozgov.
Sorry. Go ahead.
better example. Like, Timothy Mozgov is one of the elite 350 players in the NBA.
Sure.
In the world.
Yeah.
The top of the top.
Out of the millions
you
of people who play basketball on a daily basis.
You're the best player.
Yeah.
Like, it's like when people go like, Kim Kardashian is nasty. Like, bitch, if Kim Kardashian walked into the bar you were hanging out with.
You would lose your fucking mind.
You would
mind.
Ejaculate. Like, she would be the most amazing thing you saw in real life, right?
Yeah.
So that's Timothy Mozgov. Timothy Mozgov is the Kim Kardashian of a playground. He is the fucking, you see him and you're like, yeah autograph, sign my tits. Anyway. That guy would never have gotten a fucking ring if Kobe Bryant weren't on his team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you're going that far back. Timothy Mozgov never got a ring with the Lakers.
No?
No. See, I'm doing that thing that you hate right now.
Yeah, it's fine.
But
whatever. You anyway, understand my point.
There are shitty players who would have never
who are great
players.
Sean Livingston. If he doesn't end up playing ball with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, he doesn't get a ring. Andre Iguodala?
Andre Iguodala was the best fucking player for the 76ers for years.
Yeah.
All-star. Yeah. Fucking crushing it.
Yeah.
Didn't win shit.
Not going to win shit. And it takes one or two players. And it's a totally... So, I mean, like, how do you think that feels for those guys? Where they're like, at the end of the year or the next year or whatever, when they at the ring ceremony and they get their rings and they're fucking raising their banner to the rafters, they're like, I had a minimal part in this fucking thing.
Luke Walton. There you go. Luke Walton has two championships.
There you go.
Because of Kobe Bryant. There you go.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Yep.
That's exactly right. He didn't win those. You played a minimal role in winning those.
I wonder how many minutes he played in the finals. Yeah. How many minutes you put in, Luke?
Kobe Bryant scored 81 points in Toronto.
It's insane to even think about.
81.
But you ever watch the highlights from that game?
It's
ridiculous. It makes no sense. It was one of those things. You knew he was going to catch the ball. You knew he was going to pump fake. And you knew he was going to throw up a three.
Couldn't do shit about it. Now, you watch when a couple years ago when Steph was like could not miss
right.
Clay gets, 40 points on 9 dribbles or whatever. And you're like, this is incredible. Except Kobe did it over the course of 4 quarters and put up 81 points.
Right.
That's, yeah. Ludicrous.
And that was in a time where you could get away with some more shit.
Yeah, yeah. The hand check might not have been all the way cleared out of there'd probably some sympathetic refs, you know?
Right. Like, yeah, the NBA was kind of on its turn.
Yeah.
At that point, because that was fucking, 06?
Yeah.
When that happened? Jesus. Like, that shit was 14 years ago.
Wow.
I think. But anyway, regardless, the league wasn't nearly as soft as it is now. You can jack up shots and people are going to leave you alone because you're James Harden and
you kick your legs out.
Back then, if you it's almost amazing that nobody was like, listen, somebody just go fucking push him over.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to hurt him.
It's amazing that didn't happen.
Embarrassing us.
Yeah. Somebody just go punch Kobe in the dick.
61 at the Garden, 81 in fucking Toronto. It's just
60 in his final game.
It's a huge loss to the game. It's a huge loss to LA. It's a huge loss to people who have watched basketball.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking loss. And it's a loss of it's a horrible loss to what Gianna could have been.
Right.
And just to be born.
He had been making that flight for 20 years, they said. For almost 20 years, he'd been like, because he got sick of the traffic in LA. He's just like, I'm just going to take a helicopter.
He missed a thing for the kids once. And he said he never want to do that again. So he started taking a helicopter. So he would never miss a thing again. And that at the end of the day, trying to be a good dad is what ended his life.
Yeah.
And that's not fucking fair. That's where I was going before. 20 years, this fucking kid played basketball. Came in the league at 17, busted his ass, worked harder than anybody. At the end of his life, he got 4 Christmases that he didn't have to work. 4 fucking Christmases with his kids.
If anybody doesn't know, the NBA plays on Christmas.
And the Lakers were playing on Christmas.
And the Lakers were going to play on Christmas because it's your they put marquee matchups on Christmas Day. It's a tradition.
Lakers are the late game.
Like,
it's just it. Or they're playing in Boston. Right. Whatever.
Their odds are they're playing. And during Kobe's time, there weren't many years when the Lakers weren't at least good enough to at least be on TV.
Yeah.
Like, they had a couple low years, but I guarantee they had to have been playing. And it's Kobe. He's putting up shots regardless because he's Kobe.
So he got 3 or 4 Christmases.
He got
It's fucking.
So he retires.
Not
and he's got
fair.
3.
That's dog shit. That's a dog shit run. That's a dog shit deal. Ugh, it fucking makes me crazy.
And I am thankful that LeBron passed him in points.
Just the night before.
The night. It was first of all.
It's another thing.
How do you
fucking
believe it that fucking LeBron passed Kobe to become 3rd all time in scoring in the NBA the night before Kobe dies?
8 hours later, Kobe's gone.
And don't get me wrong, it's in one hand, you're like, oh, it sucks that he, saw somebody pass him. Could you imagine being LeBron? I know you hate LeBron. I'm just hear me out. Could you imagine being LeBron? Say they have a game tonight. They have a game tonight. And say he was 2 points away. Oof. Thank God he fucking passed Kobe before Kobe died. Because that would be the weirdest feeling.
That would be that would be a tough watch.
I have to pass LeBron. I have to LeBron being like, what am I just not going to score tonight?
The Knicks haven't been in playoff contention since April. I mean, like, since October, sorry.
Right, since the season started.
The Warriors are hurt, walking wounded in the basement. I hate LeBron more than I hate anything. I hate LeBron so much. That's an understatement. You understand the level of rage.
Oh, I get it.
But I want to see them fucking take the chip. Right. I want to see it. Like, I want to see it, man. I am in the corner now. Like, you did it. Not for fucking LeBron James, but okay. Now, activate.
Get another one.
Go ahead.
Yep.
Do it. Do it. Fucking make me root for you. Kobe's final way to piss me off was to make me root for LeBron fucking James. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me with your Mamba shit? I got a fucking room for LeBron James. Ugh.
Got him.
Got him.
Got him.
Yeah. Well, that was a real bummer of a podcast. It was
a real bummer podcast.
Yeah, it was tough. But, you know, next week, maybe we'll be out of the doldrums. Life moves on, you know. Everybody moves on, you know. Shaq was telling funny stories today, and that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to see people move in the right direction. You know, can't say the same. I feel bad for his family and shit and all the families, obviously, that lost everybody. No, it's just total devastation. How do you come back from that? How do you fucking come back from that? You don't. You don't. You never come back from that. Losing a kid and fucking husband.
And this was his fucking, not to keep fucking throwing fuel on the fire, but like, this was his Hall of Fame year.
Yeah.
He was going to get inducted into the Hall of Fame this year.
Should have watched that speech, man.
Like,
not fair. Yeah.
And not, like, this was the year for him to get honored. You know what I mean?
Not fucking, not D. Wade. Not that I want to see D. Wade die.
Right,
of
course.
Or Chris Bosh. But like, or
Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Kevin Garnett. You
like,
know,
all great players.
Great, great, great.
But
great.
Not
the face of the league.
Transcending.
Face of the league.
Like,
face of the league. Derek Jeter. It just is Derek Jeter and Kobe Bryant. You know, on the Mount Rushmore of the last 20 years of sports, arguably all time, but like, you know, the modern
era. The
last
20 years.
Oh, definitely, without question, it's those two. But like, to have so similar careers.
It's Kobe, Jeter, and like Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah.
Tom Brady though. But people hate Tom Brady.
But similar ages, similar careers, similar trajectories, similar, you know, championship. Mentalities, work ethics.
Stayed on one team their entire career.
Yeah, and
that doesn't happen anymore.
Guy should be, you know, you're going to canonize this guy, and you should for a bunch of reasons. And that's not the smallest one. There's a reason that LA is hurting right now, as bad as they are, and it's because they put the city on this kid's back, and he held them up.
And even in years where they weren't very good. You still went to the fucking Lakers.
You
game
went to see
you went
Kobe.
To see Kobe, man. Like, you would go to see Kobe.
Yeah, of course.
Like,
his name is just synonymous with fucking.
He's Kobe.
It's so weird, like, that he's not here.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know how else to describe it. I feel like such a fucking idiot. I was texting my friend today, and she's like, how you doing? Have you been feeling like shit because of this thing? And I was like, yeah, embarrassingly so. You know, I am embarrassed at how bad I feel about this. But I don't know. It is what it is. You know what I don't feel bad about, Sean?
Jeez. What's that?
I don't feel bad about hardonpodcast.com.
/episodes is where you'll find every... episode of Hard On Podcast.
Jesus Christ.
Facebook.
It feels so stupid.
It does, right? Jay, it wasn't good for me.
No, it was so bad for me.
Yeah.